we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming to the show a young woman who charmed viewers on her deep run in season 11 of The Great British Bake Off. She's got a brand new cookbook out called Baking Imperfect. Crush, whip, and spread it like nobody's watching. We're talking, of course, about Lottie Bedloe. Hello, Lottie.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You ask a question in your book. Does anyone even read recipe book introductions? I want you to know that I did.
Thank you. That's one person. It was worth it.
Just for me. Thank you so much. The book is an absolutely delight. And so many things I love about it, but I think you had me at whiskey snaps.
Yeah, they are good. They are very good. Very easy as well.
Well, the book is so much fun, and it reflects the personality that we saw on The Great British Bake Off. But your background is not like a traditional baker by any means. You've got a degree in science, a pantomime producer, but you've said in other interviews that for you, baking started as an escape. Is that right?
Absolutely right. Yeah, I was living in London in a tiny flat. I was working flat out as a theatre producer, and life was intense, and I think that my escape was just going to my tiny, tiny little cupboard kitchen and making what I could in there that tasted good, that made me happy, and then I could take in to the office and feed to the actors and the crew, and it was just, yeah, it was definitely an escape. I never thought that it would become my career, but here we are.
Well, and what we see in the book is sort of what we saw on the television show, that taste is the most important thing, and it's okay to tweak recipes and find your own sense of what works.
Absolutely. And I think that's the most important thing. I kind of want this book to allow people to give, you know, to kind of give them the foundations that they need to start off. And then I very much kind of encourage you to take what you've learned and put your own spin on it, add flavors. And it won't work every time. You know, the reality is that it's a messy process, and you will fail a few times, but it's about just enjoying that process and learning from it and remembering that it's only cake, you know, it's only baking at the end of the day. Nothing bad's going to happen. It'll probably taste all right. So just get stuck in, really.
Yeah, and don't get hung up on perfection. As long as you're having fun and the people who taste it enjoy it as much as you enjoyed making it.
Exactly. And I think that idea of the reason that I called it Baking Imperfect is because around baking specifically, there's just this kind of desperate need to make everything look like the front of a patisserie shop window. You know, it's got to all look perfectly finished and have real finesse. And I think that's definitely an art, but I think that in that you lose the real joy of baking, which is the flavor, the love that you put in it, the fun that you can have. And so, yeah, just trying to make sure that people remember, you know, who cares as long as it tastes good.
We're talking with Lottie Bedloe here on Downtown. Her new book is titled Baking Imperfect, Crush, Whip, and Spread It Like Nobody's Watching. A whole lot of people were watching when you were on The Great British Bake Off. You didn't have the background that a lot of others have. Were you surprised when you got chosen for the show?
I was. Honestly, I thought they'd made a mistake. When the producer rang me, I said, oh, you must mean another Lottie. There must be another Lottie on the list. And she said, no, we're definitely sure it's you. And I felt so lucky. It felt like an accident, like some, you know, there was a paper shuffle that went wrong and I ended up being on the show. But I was just so happy to be there. I only rehearsed properly for the first two shows. So I was convinced I was going home after the second week. So I only packed enough clothes for 2 weeks. I had to borrow clothes from producers and runners and all crew members because we were in a bubble for COVID. So I couldn't get any clothes. So I had to, yeah, I absolutely didn't expect to get in, let alone to kind of last as long as I did in there.
Now you've said, and I'm sure you weren't the only one to experience this, that you felt a little imposter syndrome at times, that you weren't sure you belonged there.
Absolutely right. And I think the most important thing was that on that first day when we met the other bakers who we were living with at the time, you know, I said, guys, I'm not sure that I belong here. I'm worried. I think all of you guys are probably much more experienced than me. And they all said, we feel exactly the same. So all of us were in there thinking, you know, oh, no, maybe this isn't right, maybe we shouldn't be here, maybe they've made a mistake. But when you're all feeling that, it kind of adds to that real supportiveness that you see on TV when we're all just really rooting for each other.
Well, and it seemed too, as the show went on, not only did you gain confidence, but you felt that you belonged there and you didn't seem intimidated by the whole surrounding.
No, I think I'm lucky that I come from a production background in theatre, so I very much approached it as if it was just a show. It was only when they kind of shouted action that I realised I was on the wrong side of the camera, but it meant that I was very relaxed in the atmosphere, and I think you forget that the cameras are there because you're just so focused on what you have to do and your bakes and your recipes, and there's so much to remember that you just kind of, you forget that then suddenly millions of people are going to watch that on TV. You're just worried about if your cake's going to rise.
Now, you took great inspiration from your family, and not just those you're with now, but back to your great-grandmother, who was a baker.
Yeah, so my great-grandmother, who I never met, she died before I was born, but she left an incredible legacy of a recipe book, which has kind of been passed down through generations. And there's some amazing things in there that obviously reflect her wartime living. So there's a lot of rationed foods. There's a bake that I've never tried, I'm not sure I will, called water pudding, which is just, I imagine, is just made with water because there wasn't any other ingredients lying around kind of in wartime. But it's just to know that I'm doing something that she did many years before is a really lovely feeling.
You've also got the recipe in the book for a toad in the hole, which you, of course, have made on the show, and then there's certainly a history there.
Yeah, so Toad in the Hole is a very, very British, kind of a warm comfort dinner food that we would have in the winter months. It's sausage and mash and a batter, which kind of makes a Yorkshire pudding, which I know is, again, not a very British thing. So I took all of those ingredients for Toad in the Hole, and I put it inside a Cornish pasty. Just to kind of, it's really an amalgamation of Britishness, I think, that bake in particular.
What's great about the book, too, is it has your wit, your sense of humor, your personality shines through the cookbook. And I'm not sure we see that in a whole lot of cookbooks.
Thank you. That means a lot. And it was a year of my life. I wrote all of the recipes myself. And I think what I really wanted to do was make sure that my voice was coming through in the text so that when people read it, they don't feel threatened at all by the recipes. If they're scared, I'm there to kind of hold your hand and say that I've messed this stuff up too. You know, let's learn from my mistakes. And I'm kind of encouraging people to mess up, have fun, laugh at it, and just remember that it's only cake.
I'm not a great baker. My wife is much better at baking than I am, but I was looking through and I think I want to try Amelia's cake. Is that something I could handle as not a great baker?
Yeah, for sure. I think that if Amelia's cake is a great example, Amelia is my best friend and also manager. She helped me with the kind of the logistics of putting the book together, and she had never baked before I went on the show. And so all of the things, the baking, I basically challenged her and said, let's see how much you've learned. I want you to write a recipe for the book. So she is a completely novice baker, and from, you know, trial and error, she created that recipe. I tried it out. It tastes great. So that is absolutely one that you can try because it is from a fellow novice baker, and she nailed it.
You've been very open about your anxiety. You've gone public and talking about that. Did the experience of being on the show, well, how did that experience impact your anxiety?
I think I was very lucky in that it was a very, very kind of loving and supportive environment being on set. And because we were in a lockdown bubble, we were there for 6 weeks with all the cast and crew. We couldn't leave. And so all of the production team were very aware that that would be an anxiety-inducing environment for anyone, let alone people who are already anxiety sufferers. And I think that there's a funny link, a correlation between people who suffer with anxiety and bakers. People who bake are often struggling with anxiety because it is seen as something, it's a place of escape, it's a place of calm. And I think that we were all just really supportive of each other, and I couldn't have asked for more from the team, but also from my fellow bakers, were just so supportive. And yeah, I think it was a real opportunity to feel as though I could be open and honest, and I wanted to be honest about it because I think there are lots of people who you maybe see on TV who you think have their stuff together, you know, they really kind of put it together, but actually it's important that people know that behind the scenes it's not always as easy as it looks, But if I can do it, then I want to encourage other people to kind of talk about it and be open about it too.
Now, I caught an interview where you were talking about dating, online dating, especially in the aftermath of being on the show. Yeah. Has that experience complicated things in the dating world?
It's definitely made things more complicated. I'm very keen on having a video call with people before I meet them in person. So there's been a couple of instances where people have been big fans of the show, and I've ended up kind of, you know, chatting to them, and they pretended that they have never seen the show, and then I have a video call with them, and it turns out they can't look me in the eye because they're all very overexcited about, you know, learning about the show and talking to me from that. So yeah, it's definitely as if dating wasn't a minefield enough, it has made it a lot more complicated for sure.
Well, we certainly wish you good luck with that. I also have to say, if you came up with it or whoever did, what a brilliant idea. I think every cookbook should use the cracked egg system to tell us how difficult recipes are.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with that. So cracked eggs, I wanted it to be really simple to look at. So you think, you know, how much am I going to mess this up? If it's one cracked egg, you can do it as a novice baker. If it's five cracked egg difficulty, that means that I struggled with the recipe and it's going to be a challenge for you.
Well, the book is wonderful. Baking Imperfect, Crush, Whip, and Spread It Like Nobody's Watching. Lottie Bedloe, wonderful to talk with you. We wish you good luck and continued success.
Thank you so much.